course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, not doing too shabby. Just, hanging out, drinking some coffee.
Yeah, I got coffee too. We are, when this drops, officially past Christmas, so that's over. Now we look forward to New Year, and in part of that, here our tradition on the show is that we will preview the upcoming year. So this is our 2025 horror preview episode, and this is where we will count down our top five most anticipated movies that are currently scheduled to release in 2025. Plus, we have three honorable mentions. We do hope everyone had a good holiday, is closing out 2024 in a fun and relaxing way, and hopefully everybody's looking forward to ringing in 2025. Again, it's looking to be a good year for horror movies, as always, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. Before we know, also on this show, whether it be in a special show, we do not do all of our normal segments. We're just going to do the news and such, and then get right into it so that we don't run too long and don't take away from our preview of 2025. We want to keep the focus on that. So for the next couple episodes, there will not be the usual little opening segments. So but before we get on to the news and such, Ike, anything, did you watch anything this week?
Not too much. Honestly, really the only thing I watched slash rewatched, I rewatched It's a Wonderful Knife.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good one. And then I watched a movie on Tubi called P2. So it's P2, it's about a parking garage and a security guard who does some spooky stuff. So yeah, it's actually pretty good. It's honestly I quite enjoyed it. It's not like super scary. I would almost classify it more of a thriller. But it takes place during Christmas, so it seemed right.
There you go. Well, I didn't really watch anything. Just Christmas stuff. No Christmas
Yes.
horror even. Just lots of normal ass Christmas stuff. But Tubi is a good place to find lots of unknown stuff you didn't know existed, and small release and obscure. So some of the stuff, even a lot of the stuff that we would classify as our cheesy slashers, are on there. So Tubi is a wonderful service. So much,
It really
not
is.
even that. Mind, there's so many TV shows, just so much on there. Tubi's a good thing. So, all right then. Well, it feels a little awkward, but we're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we'll have their news, birthdays, and all that. So stick around. Make sure you subscribe to Listen to Their Screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number two, and Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news.
All right, so we're going to start off here with Werewolves is now available video on demand. We talk about it a lot, but these movies are coming to on demand quicker and quicker these days. So if you couldn't catch this in theaters, then no problem. You can get it on video on demand, lickety split. This is one that we were going to review, but we had a hard time finding it in theaters, so it will be good to watch it on streaming.
We'll watch it and potentially do a review now. We'll see.
Yep.
But it's a quick turnaround because I guess everything's processed in their initial process to the digital format for theater. It's the same, right? There's not as much having to process and stuff like there used to be. Once they're done and it's mixed, it's pretty much a usable format across the board. So everything can be much quicker. Plus, we've talked about it before, right? The theater runs, the theater life it's just different now.
Yeah.
Things don't run for many, many weeks usually, except for the real big stuff. So it's just a different breed, but But I dig it. I like it, especially with something like this where we didn't get a chance because it wasn't around us. We don't have to wait too long to get to watch it. So we were highly anticipating it, and I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, absolutely. But all right, moving on to a different kind of creature feature. We have Nosferatu in theaters now. It is described as a gothic tale of obsession between a haunted woman and a terrifying vampire infatuated with her, causing untold horror in its wake. This is, of course, going to be the movie we're going to review on our January 9th episode, so that is, forthcoming. Obviously, Nosferatu has a pretty interesting hold on the pop culture. Obviously being a movie in the early 1900s and then going on to, literally have appearances in SpongeBob, many remakes, cartoons, everything. So Nosferatu is definitely a very still relevant character, and very excited to see this version of Nosferatu. I'm pretty sure it's Bill Skarsgård, right, playing him.
Yeah, and I mean I love the original, right? The 100 whatever year old one. But I think this is kind of be the a definitive take, a definitive version. It'd be nice to see
Yeah.
it with the modern. And I've heard some good things. I don't put a lot of stock in that kind of stuff, positive or negative. But I look forward to it. And it's something we probably would have reviewed it a little bit earlier if it hadn't been for the preview and the review episodes, kind of pushing it back a little bit. And it's kind of hard to go see something on Christmas for me. And thanks. I'm not one of those Christmas movie goers and
Yeah,
stuff, so.
me neither. After having worked in a movie theater for a couple years, I very much dislike going out on Christmas,
Yeah.
much less any other holiday, but especially Christmas. But
Yeah, so.
I feel you there.
Yeah. So we'll get to go out in the near future and see it, and like I said, review it on the January 9th after the preview and the review episodes. And but I expect big things. I expect I really have a feeling this is probably the number one movie over the opening weekend. It's just everywhere. It's just all over social media. People talk about it. I've seen people who are just not even what I would have ever thought really kind of big horror fans or anything else, seeing it and stuff. So it's definitely seems like it's got a lot of across the board appeal. Don't know why. I mean, I don't know why that is. It triggers that. It's a little peculiar, but I'm glad to see it. And I'm glad to see a new take on reimagining one of the oldest a very very old horror story, horror movie, whatever you want to call it, horror concept, horror character. I love to see that it's still prevalent, so that we know, in 100 years people might be doing Art the Clown remakes and shit. And what a world we live in.
Yeah, that's true. We might see that here in the next, century or so.
Man, horror fans never forget. Horror fans just,
No.
that's the way it is, right? We love this stuff. And we watch movies 30, 40, 50, whatever, 60 more years old, even like this, up to 100 years. And it's wild, man. It's people that love certain things, love that. I just love it. That's one thing I love about horror. I love the movies, obviously, but just people are so open to so, experiencing so much of the genre and appreciative of the history and the past. It's for the most part. And just a cool thing. Very cool. Love it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But all right, make sure you guys keep an eye out for that review, and we'll let you know what we really think about it here in about a week or two. Well, 2 weeks about. But anywho, moving on to Anaconda is getting a reboot, coming to theaters Christmas Day 2025. So this is going to be competing with the Return of the Living Dead remake, reboot, whatever they're calling it. But this movie's going to star Jack Black and Paul Rudd, which is an interesting duo to take on an Anaconda movie. So yeah, I mean, I'll definitely watch it. I mean, I wouldn't see why not. I like Anaconda enough. It's an all right movie. I think in the modern age it might be a little more comedic maybe. I mean, the original is kind of goofy, but I feel like with Paul Rudd and Jack Black, they're just going complete comedy with that one. They have to.
It's kind of, I don't know. It's a weird thing to be to reboot or a remake or whatever you want to call it. They're saying reboot, so I don't know, what does that mean? We don't have a lot of information yet. Are they remaking it? Are they just remaking it with a modern twist? Or is it, I don't, who knows? I mean, I don't foresee them just making some weird sequel, but
Right.
I think it's more of a remake But I don't know. I don't know. Anaconda is okay. It's not like I'm clamoring to see this or whatever, but I do like Jack Black and Paul Rudd both. So I don't think, I don't think it's gonna be anything spectacular, but I think it'll probably be a nice, good fun movie.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same. I'm not expecting, anything spectacular, but I think it'll be fun.
Yeah, why not?
But all right, moving on to David Harbour has confirmed that Violent Night 2 is going to shoot next year. Of course, those of you who enjoyed Violent Night, I think it was 2023 or 2 maybe. It was a good one. It was good. It was a fun kind of action movie. I don't know if I would call it a horror movie. It wasn't a
No.
particularly horror, but it was, what's the word? It was a home invasion kind of action thriller type movie, with David Harbour, of course, playing jolly old Saint Nick. And yeah, it was good. It was a fun time, and I'll definitely watch another one.
Yeah, me too. Again, yeah, you're right. It was more of a thriller type movie, but I don't know. It's almost in this day and age, it's so weird. People, it's like if people get killed in it, they're calling it horror. But it's
Yeah.
just not. It's not. There's nothing scary or spooky about it or anything that kind of. I don't know. Horror has become such an all-encompassing title now. But as far as a an actiony thrillery, I don't even know if it's thrillery. It's just more actiony Christmas type movie. It is fun, and I will definitely watch it. I don't know. Again, I don't know. Given the first one, I don't know whether we'll review it or not because it just doesn't fit. Really, I don't think so. I don't know. I'm glad they're making it because, like I said, I'll like it. I like the first one. It just I don't yeah, like you said, don't think it really fits the horror genre too well.
Yeah. And honestly, I remember them kind of, talking about it being like it was categorized as a sort of a horror movie when they first put out that first one. So I remember we were both pretty excited about it. And don't get me wrong, it was still very good. It just wasn't exactly what we were expecting, I don't think. So, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. All right. Moving on to Damien Leone's Terrifier 2 director's commentary is now available on Screambox. I know we mentioned this a little while ago, and obviously director's commentary is a sort of a lost art, I feel, with the growing surge of streaming and digital formats. I feel like a lot of the special features and whatnot that you normally get with movies is sort of lost, but. Yeah, I mean, I'm super excited that they're putting this out on streaming, and definitely have to check it out because obviously I love Terrifier 2, and I'd love to hear some stories or just some comments about different things.
Yeah, I mean, especially me too. Especially with the effects, right? I hope he talks, some about the effect. I love hearing the how they accomplish some of these things and the process behind, practical effects. It's always fascinating. And I've never really looked. I've got Terrifier 2 in physical media. I wonder if that. I'm assuming that director's commentary is probably on there as well. I've never really, I haven't
Probably.
really dove in and looked. And I got Terrifier 3. For Christmas, physical media. I mean, it's on there too, so haven't really dove into that yet. But yeah, it's always fun. And they also Screambox also put up the Terrifier, like kind of the Yule log thing. And
Yeah.
it's so funny. And again, I don't want to hope nobody takes this personally if they were that person. But I saw so many people on social media talking about it, right? Because it was kind of labeled Terrifier Christmas special or something to that effect, right? And it was basically just an Art the Clown Yule log thing. And but I saw so many people on social media saying, man, I watched that Terrifier holiday special thing and it was really boring. I don't understand it. I don't get it. No. And I think they thought it was, something not like an actual Christmas special thing, not just that ambience background thing. They're like, it was just Art the Clown sitting by the fire and doing like, oh my Lord, people. How do you not know what these are? They're like, it's part of it's. I thought it was ingrained in modern society and culture because they have these things for everything. But it's just funny. And again, if anybody out there is one of those people that didn't get it and post, no offense, I'm not saying It's just humorous. And I think it's only humorous because we've all been there, right? We've all mistaken something and thought, I don't get it, and just not understood exactly what the purpose was. And it's funny. I'm sorry.
No, I agree. It's weird because I didn't get the chance to look at it, but I saw some screenshots, and I kind of figured that's what it was because you can go on YouTube and look up like, fireplace, campfire type stuff. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Like you said, it seems like it's a pretty popular thing. Like, especially with like streaming and YouTube and stuff, you kind of figure that like, yeah, they're gonna do that. Not only that, but if you have like a smart TV, a lot of smart TVs come with like some kind of free like television app, like Freevee or Pluto, or like there's like a Vizio one. Like for instance, we have a Vizio TV, and they had a channel for like a fireplace. So I mean, yeah, I mean, like you said, it seems like it should be pretty common sense that hey, this is like what's going on, especially in this day and age.
Yeah, that's what, I mean, I watched a few minutes of it. There's, no way I'm gonna watch an hour because I knew what it was, but. And a lot of
Right.
these times it's, it's just a few minutes, then it's looped and stuff. But, it was just, it's what it was. Just like that Christmas tree fireplace looked like from that, that opening scene in Terrifier 3 even. And Art walks in, sits down, like going through his bag, just stuff like that. It's just, but it's, guys, these things are meant to be put on in the background. It's just ambience and not, I mean, not to be, not to be watched like it's Charlie Brown
Like a
Christmas.
movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
Just
So,
for fun.
I mean, whatever. Okay. But again, it's only humorous because we've all done something like this. We've all mistaken something and misunderstood something. So nobody take it personally.
I can't remember what it was. I had had a similar instance where I mistaken something for something, and but it was something along the same lines. But I want to say it was about a cartoon I watched. Like I think it was Ed, Edd n Eddy. They had like a, I thought it was like a documentary or something like that on YouTube, but it was just like Cartoon Network made like a, like an in memoriam type thing when they stopped putting it out. So it wasn't even, it wasn't like a documentary. It was literally just like a cut of like all these different episodes put together. So it's happened to the best of us. You just gotta pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and say, you know what, that was a little
Just laugh at yourself. It's funny.
That's right. If you're not laughing, you're crying.
That's right.
But very good. So we'll go ahead and move on to some upcoming birthday stuff. We got some good ones here. Starting off with December 27th, 1958, Barbara Crampton, known for her roles in Reanimator, Chopping Mall, From Beyond, Puppet Master, and many, many more. Of course, I think Dave would say that his favorite of these is Reanimator, of course.
It is, but I love them all. I like all these movies. They're all super fun. I mean, kind of goofy, but they're all fun. Barbara, I mean, I love Barbara Crampton. I mean, I'm literally, if I see a movie and she's in it, I'm down to watch it because I do. I love her. I don't know what it is. There's something, I love what she does. She's again one of those people that embraces horror and knows her place, right? This is what I do. This is what I am. And is just great about it, and I love that. I love because there's nothing wrong with being a niche actor, right? And I mean, if you get successful in something and that works and you're known for horror movies, I just love the people that embrace it. And say, all right, that's great. I'm your queen. Come and see me. And I hate people that are like, oh, I'm trying to break out, and not do these. Oh, fuck you. And it's so pretentious. But I love Barbara Crampton. Long story short, I think she's very talented. Love all the movies she's in. And I love it. She's still making stuff. Still having fun. Does lots of conventions.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, sometimes, there are some people who don't like the pigeonholing, the typecasting and whatnot, but a lot of people are fine with it. A lot of people like it. A lot of people enjoy having that, that camaraderie and that, sort of legacy, if you will. So yeah, I mean, I'm glad she's rocking and rolling. So, but all right, moving on to December 27th, 1975. Heather O'Rourke, known for Carol Ann in Poltergeist 1 through 3. So this is a reoccurring actress, and Heather O'Rourke. I feel like I know that name from something else, some other
Well,
movie.
yeah. Well, she no, th she because she's no longer she's not alive. She died as a child.
Oh.
Yeah, she didn't do much outside of these Poltergeist movies, and there's you just got to go out and read it. There's a whole story. It's pretty tragic. She died young. This is pretty much it. It's just these Poltergeist. She was just yeah. Just everybody needs to go out and read. It's very tragic. I don't want to misrepresent because it's been a while since I've really read anything or whatever. But yeah, it's kind of a tragic thing. But no, she's no longer with us, and the Poltergeist. I mean, that's pretty much the bulk of the work, as far as I know. I think she may have done a voice on some kind of cartoon movie, if I'm remembering right. For some reason that jumps out at me. But she didn't do a whole lot else, I don't think.
I
Just
gotcha.
didn't have time.
Well, I guess she stayed busy though. I mean, with all those Poltergeist movies for sure. But oh well. Yeah, I'll have to look that up. I feel like I remember that story, so I'll have to look that up and refresh my memory. But
Yeah.
all right. We're gonna move on to December 30th, 1945. Lloyd Kaufman, the Toxic Avenger writer and head of Troma Films. If I've seen Toxic Avenger, it's been a very long time. If I recall correctly, didn't they start like doing like a reboot or something with Daniel Radcliffe?
Yeah, there was something. Man, I don't even remember what it was. There was a reboot, a remake of it here recently, but I feel like it ran into some kind of trouble. Not like bad, just like ratings type trouble or something. I don't know. So I don't know if we're gonna see it. I don't know if it was finished. I don't know. I mean, there's been several Toxic Avenger things, right? There's been a movie, several sequels. There may have been some remakes even. There's a cartoon series for a while. It's a fun character, but Lloyd Kaufman's a wacky dude, man. He's really wacky. He's a fun follow on social media, because he's just wacky. And Troma Films does lots of wacky stuff like the Now, to be fair, some of there is Lloyd and the company do like scantily clad women,
Okay.
and they do put that kind of stuff in their films, right? They the old adage of the topless women and different things. I think that's still part of it, but they have like this. They have a group of actors and actresses that do like, or part of them that do like pretty much everything, right? For them and stuff, and a lot of times. So do be warned, people. If you follow them on social media, maybe you might not like. It's not like he's posted nudity, but sometimes there is, pushing the edge a little. So, like I said, he's a wacky dude. So, but he did help give us the Toxic Avenger. So, he
Gotta
is
give him some
worthy,
credit, I
isn't it?
suppose.
That's right.
All right. Well, moving on now to December 30th, just a few short years later, in 1980, we have Eliza Dushku, known for her role in Wrong Turn and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Wrong Turn, it's an interesting one. I feel like I know the name because I actually recently went back and watched the first Wrong Turn movie, so
Oh yeah, you'd
I'm
know if you
sure.
saw her. But
No, I probably won't.
she's the main character, the one that's on the poster and
Oh, okay.
and everything. She's you would know her. She's also in oh man, which Kevin? The Kevin the Bob Jay and Silent Bob reboot.
Oh, the cartoon movie?
The one with the group of women that they meet that's going to go and
Oh,
they think they're animal activists, but they're going to steal something, and
yeah.
and there's Kevin Smith's wife's one of them, and some other
Yeah.
she's one of those, she's in
Okay.
that, so I mean she's been in several things, but yeah, and she plays Faith on Buffy. If anybody watches Buffy or Angel, you know her. You would know her definitely when you see her. She was very popular at that time. But she's the main girl in the original Roger. She's the one that was on the poster and everything. The DVD cover and everything else. So you would know her easily if you saw her.
Gotcha. Very cool. Well. It's always funny when you like see these names and you're like, oh yeah, I know that person, and then you kind of look at their IMDb and you're like, oh, I've seen this person like a bunch of movies.
Yeah.
I love that. But all right, we're gonna move on now to December 31st, 1937. We have Sir Anthony Hopkins. Hanks, known for his role in Silence of the Lambs, as well as many, many other things. Sort of a
Oh yeah.
highbrow actor, if you will.
Yeah, he's done so much. Very talented, but again, I love him, right? I love his work, but it's not that a lot of what he is in is not necessarily my cup of tea. But he man, he nailed it with Hannibal Lecter. So that alone is worth the knighthood for me.
Oh man. Oh Lord. I love that. What are the requirements to get knighthood? I've always been curious. I don't know if you know that.
I don't know. I don't think there is a I don't think there's necessarily like this set requirements. I'm assuming you have to be from the UK or whatever or England or whatever. And I don't know. I just think it's you get to that certain level of success and importance because it's like everybody, I mean, Elton John, Rod Stewart, Paul McCartney, Eric Clapton, all these guys have been knighted. So it's I think it's just when you or a certain level of success and talent within your field. I don't think there's a set requirement. I think it's just I don't know if they do so many every year, if it's a one-time ceremony every year. I can't seems like it might be. But I know there's a lot of a lot of people in other things that are not necessarily in the public eye, right? In other fields and things as well that we wouldn't know right off the bat. Because it's not like, it's not all just musicians and actors and such. But
Right.
it's just a anymore it's just a decorative title, right? It's it's not like it's not like if they went to war they're gonna call in all the knights and they're gonna all serve. God help us if Anthony Hopkins and Paul McCartney are on your front line. I mean that's I don't think it's gonna work, but
I don't think so. I think they might be a little too elderly for that one,
sure are, but yeah. But I think it's just an honorary title to recognize people's success. I'm trying to think. I don't. Maybe it's kind of relatable, I guess, to that. What's that? Presidential Medal of Honor. What's that thing they do every year? Not the Medal of Honor, but the there's
it's
something where
like
it's yeah, where they have it's always musicians usually, and they they're honored, but that I don't know what that's called. I can't remember what that's called.
I know what you're talking about, but it's like an award that they give, and it's like only given to certain people who've made like certain achievements and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's because they just did it, and I know this year the big honoree was the Grateful Dead. I remember that, and but it's weird, it's kind of odd because like in the past, like I know like Led Zeppelin's gotten it, and they're not American, they're
Right.
British, so I don't guess you have to be American for that. So I don't know. It's peculiar. I wonder if someone non-English can be knighted. I don't think so.
I'll have to look
Interesting.
that up. I'll have to look
Yeah,
that up.
something that I would. I'm a bit of an Anglophile. I love English things, British things, and their culture and stuff. So I should know more about it. But it's one of those things I'd definitely be interested in diving down the rabbit hole and learning more about, the modern take on it and how it works, what it is, if there are criteria. It's intriguing.
It
I want to be knighted. I want to be Sir Dave.
Sir Dave Dynasty.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh
But
well.
that'll be something for us to look into. Maybe if we can get a knighting based off of our achievement in podcasting.
Sure.
There you go.
Sir Dave and Sir Ike,
There you go.
of ye listen to listen to ye screams.
Listen to ye screams. Oh, Lord.
Take us back to
Anyway,
the Renaissance fair.
I was going to say, before we offend everyone, I'm kidding. Before we offend the sitting king of England, I'm kidding.
I love you, Charles.
Right.
Don't hate Chuck.
That's right. Don't hate you, Chuck. But anyway, moving on to December 31st. In 1941, so 4 years later, we have Sean S. Cunningham. He is not a sir, but he is Sean S. Cunningham, the director of Friday the 13th. So, I mean, not quite the same achievement of being knighted, but hey, it's still good. It's still good.
Yeah, and He's one of the guys that's been involved in the hang up and the rights and this and that, right? Because there's all, always been that who created what, who did what, who came up with what, who wrote what, and he's one of them that's involved in it. Not going to discuss that because we could do a whole series of episodes on that, I'm sure.
No.
But he directed the original, so regardless of any of that, he is definitely an important horror figure.
True. Very true. Despite his shortcomings, he is still important. So we're going to now move on to December 26, 1973. We have our one and only movie anniversary for The Exorcist. You heard that right. Full of its, spinning head and split pea soup. The Exorcist is obviously an iconic horror film and a very rightful anniversary that we celebrate every year.
Yeah, I think this is 51st. I only remember that because I'm pretty sure last year was the 50th anniversary. That's wild to think.
That is crazy. I say, and it's crazy to think that a lot of the folks who were in that movie are still hanging around with us, despite the fact that it was so long ago,
Yeah.
But not all of them. Some of them have passed, but
No, I
like
mean,
the
but
yeah.
Linda Blair was, she was a kid when, so, in it.
That's
So of
true.
course she's still out there acting, doing
Yep.
things.
And the mom is too. She was in
Oh yeah, that's
The
true.
Exorcist Believer.
Yeah. So,
Still acting.
good stuff. But,
That's
yeah,
right.
good movie. But, if you want to hear more Exodus talk, yeah, go check out that episode, because I believe we talked some about the original and different things, and when we did the Exorcist Believer review.
We sure did. But all right, we're gonna move on to our last little bit of information here about upcoming releases. Street Trash hits Screambox on December 27th. It is described as a group of homeless misfits must fight for survival when they discover a plot to exterminate every homeless person in their city. What I just read to you is not the current state of affairs. It is, in fact, the description of a movie coming out. We did review this movie. It was quite fun. A very entertaining remake of a old classic cheesy slasher. Now we won't dwell too much on this because we did have a full review of this that's in the archives from last week. So make sure you check that out because it was a fun time.
Was good fun. And yeah, everybody give it a watch and listen to a review.
That's right. But all right, I think we are going to go ahead and take a pause, the second pause of the show. And when we come back, we were going to have our 2025 preview, including our honorable mentions and our top five most anticipated movies. So stick around.
This is Wrestling Nostalgia, the podcast that dives into wrestling history. Hey, wrestling fans, I'm Dave Dynasty. And if you enjoy podcasts that are knowledgeable and history-driven, then Wrestling Nostalgia is for you. With great guests and fun interviews, there are over 200 episodes in our archives. We chat with several first-time guests and often cover topics not discussed on other podcasts. Look up Wrestling Nostalgia on your favorite podcast platform and visit all of our links at linktree.com/WrestlePod. That is linktr.ee/RASSLEPOD. And remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing.
All right, and it is time for our 2025 preview. I bet you weren't expecting to hear me talking. That's right, I'm in control now. No, I'm kidding. All right, we're going to start off with our honorable mentions. Now, here's the deal, folks. We had a shit ton of honorable mentions. I specifically had like 30, but I wish I was joking. But we had to break it down, and we had to, give it to three. And it's going to sound crazy that these three aren't in our top five, but we have a lot of really cool top fivers. Some that are, I'm really highly anticipating, some that Dave's highly anticipating, some that we're both highly anticipating. So there's a lot of give and take in this. But we're going to start off with our first honorable mention, which is Wolfman. It is going to release January 17, 2025, directed by Leigh Whannell. We've talked about Wolfman quite a bit, actually, because it's been in and out of the news. There were some delays, I believe, at some point for this movie, and You know, now we finally have, you know, an official release in January later this coming month. So, yeah, you know, it's very exciting. This is something that we've both been super, super stoked for. I think Dave might be a little more stoked for it than I am because he's, of course, you know, super into the Universal Monsters, and this is sort of supposed to be a spiritual successor to that. And but I'm still super stoked too. It looks really good. I really like the trailer.
Yeah, the trailer was good. I know there were some people freaking out because at the what's it called, the Halloween horror whatever thing down in Universal that they do every year, there was a display for Wolfman, and there was like a Wolfman looking. It was kind of a little hokey looking. Everybody thought that was the Wolfman, and everybody flipped out, and then they had to come out and say, "Okay, guys, that's not it. That's not really. It's just something we did, but that's not what it's going to look like." And so, just like everybody, have faith. Wait for the final product. I feel like it's going to be just a you know, good fun movie. I feel like it's going to. This is. I feel like, you know, this is going to be like what horror should be. I feel like there's going to be lots of scares, lots of tension, lots of, you know, a good, you know, creature. I just think it's gonna. It's gonna be good fun. I'm glad, you know, we get it. It's coming here soon. Finally. Lee Wannell is known for what? Isn't he from Saul and all those? I mean, not Saul. Yeah, Saul, right?
Yeah. He was part of Saul and
starting this. Yeah, starting the Saul franchise in Insidious. So, I feel very comfortable with it being in his hands. I feel like, given his level, if he's on this, it's got a little bit of a passion project, right? He probably wants to do it because he, you know, wants to do a Wolfman movie, which, you know, to me is, I love that, right? I don't want someone on there just doing it, just to do it. But anyway, these are just honorable mentions, so I don't want to talk too long. But yeah, very much looking for Wolfman.
Yeah, absolutely. Same.
Yeah. And that leads us to our next honorable mention, which is kind of in the same vein as being a classic monster, known mostly for, you know, in its Universal days, but it is, we're going to assume it's titled Frankenstein. We don't have an official title. But it is the Frankenstein movie that is directed by Guillermo del Toro. There is no release date. There's been no trailer. There's only been just one still that looks pretty cool. It's got a good feel to it. But this is a movie that Guillermo del Toro has wanted to do his entire life. He loves Frankenstein. He has said this was, you know, his passion project that he always wanted to do, and he finally did it. I love Frankenstein. I love the monster. As a character, as a monster, I love the story because, right, it's a misunderstood monster who's at its core not really the monster to me, or to most people. And it's, you know, right. Oscar Isaacs is in it. Lots of good people are in it, tied to it. And you just know, you know, Guillermo del Toro does great work. Visually, you know, just everything's just beautiful with his stuff. And as much as he loves the Frankenstein story, I think this is going to be the definitive version of Frankenstein made. I love the original, the Universal, don't get me wrong. Love it, will always love it. Think it's a perfect movie. But I think this is going to be based on the original text, the Mary Shelley book. I just really think this is going to be the definitive version, interpretation of the book. So I'm very excited about it. My only fear, I don't hope it's just so grotesquely over the top, not grotesque as in disgusting, just so over the top, right? That he has to capture every single little thing from the book. Cause sometimes that gets to be much. And I don't want to see a 3-hour Frankenstein. And, right. And sometimes Guillermo del Toro gets carried away with that kind of stuff. So hopefully, you know, he keeps it in check, gets the flavor, the feel, knows what to put on screen, what not to put on screen. Hopefully he does tip his hat to Universal take in some capacity, right? Pays a little homage to their interpretation. Again, I'm super excited. As much as I love Frankenstein, though, I do have some fears. But we'll see. I'm looking forward to it all the same.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, these are just an honorable mention, so I don't want to dwell too long on it. But obviously, Frankenstein's a classic. And I do think that with this more modern interpretation, it will become a definitive version of the film and the franchise and everything else. So definitely excited for that. You know, what can you say? I mean, it's got pretty much an all-star cast. It has perhaps one of the greatest horror creators of the 21st century, Guillermo del Toro, in the film as well. So, he's fantastic, fantastic, artist. So, but yeah, so I won't dwell on it too long, which then takes us to our last honorable mention. And, this is going to be something that maybe some people find controversial, especially with the performance of the first movie last year. But we have Strangers, chapters 2 and 3, directed by Rennie Harland, and of course, release date to be, released in the future. So, at this juncture, a lot of people were not super excited with the initial film and with what it provided. And I think that, there is some discussion to be had about what the first film did well and did not do well. But if you want to know about that, check out our review. But the second and third movies, have a lot of, I think there's a lot of potential, right? Depending on how they proceed, I feel like maybe the first film was sort of to get your feet wet, and that maybe the second and third film are going to more properly tie up the story and deliver us what we want. So I guess we'll see. You know what I mean? Two more movies.
Again, I am looking forward to them, right? We very mixed emotions about the first one. We talk about that in a review. I love the original, right? Back in the day, love it. So I'm looking forward to seeing where they go now, where they get to do their own material. It looks like there's going to be some background on those, which that worries me, right? Because I don't know, part of the creepiness was not knowing anything about them. So I'm curious to see how they do this and if it adds to or takes away from the horror of the three of them. I don't know. It just depends on what they tell and how they interpret it. So that's my biggest thing. One reason, biggest thing I'm anticipating about it is just the what ifs, because this is we don't know. We what they're going to do, how they're going to dive into it, what they're going to explain, the backstory on these characters, and what happens. So that's kind of what's got me excited, just a little trepidatious, but looking forward to seeing the story they tell. And I'm sure we'll be reviewing these when they come out. So more to come on that. So all right, and it is now time for our 2025 top five most anticipated horror movies, where we count down just five of the movies that we're most looking forward to. And to start off at number five is going to be Clown in a Cornfield. This movie is to be released on May 9th, 2025, written by Eli Craig and Carter Blanchard, and it is based on a novel by Adam Cesar. Directed by Eli Craig, starring Kevin Durand, Will Sasso, Katie Douglas, and others, it is described as a fading Midwestern town in which Frondo the Clown, a symbol of bygone success, reemerges as a terrifying scourge. This looks pretty good. And this is one I think you threw into the mix. I wasn't super familiar with it, but apparently this novel, I guess it's a series, I think, is super popular.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I was gonna say I read the first book and the second book, and there's a third book that just came out that I have on hold at the library. Yeah, it is super exciting. I love the books, and I just based off the books and what I know about them, I think you're gonna love the movie. I think you're gonna find it a lot of fun. But yeah, it's a slasher movie with a twist, and I'm stoked for this.
What a twist.
What a twist.
Sounds good to me. I'm always down with the clown. I
I was
think
gonna say it's a clown too, so
those are super fun, and everything else. But yeah, I'm all about a good slasher movie, and hopefully it does well and establishes a new character and Frondo, however you say Frondo, the clown, as kind of a whatever, a cultural character, and we can get some figures and such. I'm always looking forward to that stuff. So, all right, so that's it. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, I think the merchandising on this one's gonna be fun.
So, all right, so that's number five, Clown in a Cornfield. Move us on to number four.
Coming in at number 4, we have Screamboat, set to be released January 25th, 2025, written by Stephen LaMorette and Matthew Garcia Dunn, based on the Disney short Steamboat Willie, starring Mickey Mouse. directed by Stephen LaMorte, starring David Howard Thornton, Tyler Posey, Kaylee Hyman, and others, described as a late-night boat ride turns into a desperate fight for survival in New York City when a mischievous mouse becomes a monstrous reality. Can a motley crew survive a killer creature with a taste for tourists? For anybody who's ever watched our podcast, it should be no surprise to you that the public domain horror is going strong, and we are so excited for it because not only is this Mickey Mouse killing people, this is David Howard Thornton dressed up as Mickey Mouse killing people. Mm-hmm. How could you get better than that? Obviously, we're super stoked for it, and I mean, come on. This is just gold. This is a gold mine, and it is being mined to death.
Yeah, absolutely is. I mean, that mine's about stripped clean. but we've talked about a couple. I think we reviewed one. I can't remember which one it was. Oh, Mousetrap. I think it was. I think we reviewed that one. And, you know, but this is the one. Screamboat's the one we've always talked about that we were really looking forward to. We feel it's an odd thing to say, but we feel will be the definitive version of the Steamboat Willie horror. And and such a peculiar statement. The premise is, it doesn't knock you off your feet. It's kind of sticks. It makes it work, right? We get it. Nothing there that really, but I think the thing that most puts this over the top for us is obviously David Howard Thornton. He is so good in these kind of roles. Obviously as Art the Clown and one of the players in Stream as the Grinch, quote unquote, and the mean one. He's so good with this physical acting and this and portraying these type of characters that he's going to be the biggest difference maker in this. And probably the most reason that I'm most looking forward to this. So very excited to see this movie, and we don't have to wait too long for it to get it finally. So Screamboat at number 4 moves us on to number 3, and it is Five Nights at Freddy's 2. To be released December 5th, 2025, written by Emma Tammy, Seth Cutterback, and Scott Cawthon, directed by Emma Tammy, starring Joss Hutcherson, Elizabeth Lale, Matthew Lillard, and others. It is described as, anyone can survive five nights. This time, there will be no second chances. This is obviously the sequel to Five Nights at Freddy's. Everybody knew this was going to be coming. No doubt about it. Probably already knew it was coming before the first one was released. But the first one was a super success. So obviously, here we go with another. Again, this is, the first one was good. So I'm obviously looking forward to this. But Ike, this is one you threw in there because you're a big fan of the Five Nights franchise.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I would say that Five Nights at Freddy's has become sort of a cultural phenomenon unlike anything else. I mean, there's video games, there's movies, there's all of this fantastic stuff. I mean, just so much, just so much. And it cannot be, it cannot be stated enough that, like you said, it was already anticipated that we were going to have a multi-movie franchise with the Five Nights movies. And like you said as well, Five Nights at Freddy's 1 did a substantial job in the box office. And it's something that we're all very, very excited for. So like you said, I'm a huge Five Nights fan. Matthew Lillard is so superbly awesome as William Afton. And I'm just so excited because, William Afton, the last one, died. So now we have what a creature called Springtrap, which I think is going to really challenge Matthew Lillard and his acting ability because he is more of a physical phenomenon as well as more of an ethereal one. So I'm excited to see how Matthew Lillard does that. As you can tell, I could talk about Five Nights forever. I'm super stoked for it. And like you said, this is going to be another one of those that I could see becoming even more and more and more movies. They can make a million of them and I'd watch them all.
And like we spoke with Screamboat and Matthew Lill, and David Howard Thornton, Five Nights anticipated enough, but Matthew Lillard's involvement just pushes it to another level because I'm such a fan of Matthew Lillard. So there you go, coming in number 3. So we got, number 3, Five Nights at Freddy's. Ike, what do we have as number 2?
At number 2, we have Black Phone 2, set to be released October 17th, 2025, written by Scott Derrickson and Robert Cargill, and directed by Scott Derrickson as well, starring Ethan Hawke, Mason Thames, Jeremy Davies, and others. No description given quite yet. Obviously, Black Phone was a highlight of our movie watching pleasure in 2023. And they pretty quickly mentioned that Black Phone 2 was very much in the works, very much a possibility. And, you know, it's crazy that, you know, very soon we will have that sequel, you know, and I guess not very soon. We still, you know, about a year away, but still it's exciting that this year we will have all of these fantastic sequels to these movies. And, you know, hopefully we'll have a, you know, even more love for the franchise and hopefully more, you know, coming out in the future beyond that. A Black Phone 10, mm-hmm. we go to the moon or something. I don't know.
Yeah. And again, like you said, the first movie, I'm pretty sure made our top five favorite movies of 2023, at least an honorable mention, if not top five. Mm-hmm. I don't recall, but we both love the movie. Love the concept, love the character. And again, like we said, with pretty much every movie, right? There's something, an actor usually that pushes it to that next level. That's Ethan Hawke in this one, right? We love Ethan Hawke, loved his work in the first one. So that, you know, that takes this that we're already anticipating the movie anyway and looking forward to it. But then when you remember Ethan Hawke's part playing that lead role, well, the lead role in the last one, pushes it to the next level of anticipation and excitement. So, Black Phone is very kind of quietly, hopefully becoming a pretty strong little franchise, and hopefully it continues on, past this one. I anticipate this one will be successful as well. But we will see. So that brings us, let's recap here just really quick. Number five, Clown in a Cornfield. Number four, Screamboat. Number three, Five Nights at Freddy's 2. Number two, Black Phone 2. And that brings us to our number one most anticipated movie of 2025. And it is 28 Years Later. This movie is to be released June 20th, 2025, written by Danny Boyle and Alex Garland, directed by Danny Boyle, starring Aaron Taylor-Johnson, Jodie Comer, Cillian Murphy, and others, described as a group of survivors of the Rage virus live on a small island. When one of the group leaves the island on a mission into the mainland, he discovers secrets, wonders, and horrors that have mutated not only the infected, but other survivors. Now this... Ike and I, we've talked about it. We love zombies, right? We love things in the zombie field, creative stuff, you know, the peripheral stuff. We're all about it. We loved all the 28 movies. We've spoken of that a little bit, but this is going to be our chance to really dive into that franchise and discuss those movies. We were anticipating, looking forward to this again, so much anyway. Then they dropped the trailer. The trailer was absolutely extraordinary. It looks so damn good. And it put me from, probably bumped this movie from, I don't know, probably a three, probably on what would have been my list, you know, anticipation, because I knew it was coming, but I wasn't really thinking about it a lot. Then seeing that trailer, bam, that pushed it up to that number one spot. It made me really, really want to see it. Got to wait a few months, not till June, but that's okay, because I'm sure we'll get probably another trailer, some more teasers, some more images, different things coming out. That's just going to make it even more exciting. But I really know that you are really a fan of the 28 franchise and are super looking forward to this one.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, the 28 Days Later and 28 Weeks Later movies, they were so, it was so weird because around the time that they came out, I was, you know, budding into my horror, you know, love, right? I was starting to really get the grasp of like horror movies and everything else. And I feel like this movie was a very pivotal movie for me because I watched it around the beginning of my, you know, introduction into some, you know, deeper horror. And, 28 Days Later is, in my opinion, a masterpiece. It is a perfect look at a almost hopeless situation as it pertains to zombies. I mean, you look at zombies as a whole, and a lot of these zombie movies, there are, you know, loopholes. There are ways to survive. The Walking Dead, the zombies are stupid, right? You know, the Resident Evil movies, there's a technically an antivirus, right? Even in World War Z, there is a cure for, or not necessarily a cure, but a way for zombies to stop running after you. So in this movie, at least as far as I can recall, 28 days and 20 weeks, the Rage virus is all but impermeable. There's not really much that anyone can do to stop the impending doom of the Rage virus. It is incredibly easy to get infected by the rage virus, and the zombies that are produced by the rage virus are absolutely fucking insane. So I love the 28 Days movies, and I think that this is going to be so fantastic. Getting Cillian Murphy back too is so amazing. He's such a good actor. I'm so glad he came back. I was really afraid that when they eventually did this, he was going to be like, "Nah, I'm not going to do that stupid shit. What are you talking about? I was in fucking Oppenheimer. What do you mean?" Like,
yeah. So there you have it. Our top five most anticipated movies of 2025 our honorable mentions: Wolfman, Frankenstein, Strangers 2 and 3, and then our top five: Clown in a Cornfield, Screamboat, 3, Five Nights at Freddy's, 2, Black Phone 2, and 1, 28 years later. I would love to hear feedback on social media of what your most anticipated movies are for 2025. Doesn't have to be a list, doesn't have to be a bunch, just maybe throw one out, just whatever, just something you're looking forward to. There were so many movies, like I mentioned earlier, so many movies. So we just needed, let's just ramble here. We got to mention some. We're not going to talk about them, but you know, some other movies we're looking forward to that are scheduled to be released in 2025. Megan 2.0, The Conjuring Last Rites, Saw 11, which we don't know what's going on with that, but it's still tentatively on the calendar. The Return of the Living Dead remake, Return to Silent Hill, Bambi the Reckoning, and there's more, lots more movies. There's more of the public domain horror that we really like. I believe the Pinocchio Unstrung movie, maybe he's coming out. I don't know. There's plenty of that. So that's just what we rattled off kind of off the top of our head, right? Well, I didn't do a whole lot of research because I had things in mind. So these are all the movies that we came up with that we were looking forward to that we had to narrow down. But there is so much more. There's so much that is not yet announced. This also doesn't take into account the movies that will be hitting like Screambox and Shudder that we don't know of, right? Those hidden gems of movies that we love, you know, the Life of Bells, the Frogmans, the you know, Hunting for the Hag, those kind of movies that we reviewed and interviewed people and love that we just don't know about, right? There's not a whole big promotional push until it's closer to time. So there's all those movies that we still get to look forward to, thanks to Screenbox, Shudder, and other services like that. So again, we say this every single year. It's such an exciting time to be a horror fan because there's so much stuff coming out. It just absolutely blows my mind. And in keeping kind of in the same flavor, our next episode will be our 2024 review episode, where we will do something similar, but we will count down our top five favorite horror movies that we watched in 2024. Plus, we'll have some honorable mentions for that as well. I love doing these episodes, right? Because it gives us a chance to look forward to 2025. But the review, I love it because I forget certain movies, right? I forget things that we watched in this year or that came out. And I love getting to recap and think, oh yeah, I forgot about that movie. And sometimes it spurns me to do some rewatches of movies, you know, because I forget about them. When I think about them. So I'm very much looking forward to the 2024 review episode. Ike, what about you?
Oh, absolutely. The review episodes are some of my favorite episodes that we get to do. Cause exactly what you just said. I mean, literally there are so many movies we watched this year. There are so many movies that I forgot that we watched this year. Yep. So it's this weird like combination of like, oh, you know, we have all these movies and I have to pick five of them now, which I love. And I'm like, but I love all of them, so I don't want to pick five. It's like Sophie's Choice. But yeah, it's super exciting because not only do I get to kind of go back and, you know, mentally review all these movies that we watched this year, but I also get to, you know, sit down and earnestly say, okay, which five of these are like my top, you know, which movies can I throw like on an honorable mention, stuff like that. And it's going to be very difficult. It is going to be incredibly difficult. And then on top of that, we have to come together, make a definitive top five, and cut down our honorable mentions. Cause I think I can honorable mention this entire year, quite frankly.
Yeah, me too. But it will be fun. I look forward to it. Always a good discussion and everything else. But like we said, give us some feedback on what your most anticipated movies of 2025. And hey, you can go ahead and throw out what were some of your favorite movies to watch from 2024. Let us know what you think. As we wind down this episode, we obviously like to give a special thank you to our wives and to all the listeners and followers. Thank you guys for a great 2024 here on the show. We had lots of growth and connections this year. And we're both very excited for 2025, both as horror fans and as horror podcasters. We look to continue to grow, explore some other opportunities and avenues to support both horror and our podcast. Everybody keep your eyes open because it might be time. Maybe 2025 might be the year we venture out and do some form of an appearance. I think we're there. I think we need to do that and dive in. So maybe that's this year. Who knows? So everybody, obviously, follow our social media. We're on pretty much every platform. Just look for Listen to Screams, Listen the number two in Screams. And as these things are happening, as they develop, we will make announcements on there. And everybody will know that's the best way to keep track of what we'll do. So before we close and get out of here, Ike, I mean, this is it for 2024, last episode of 2024. Obviously, like I said, next episode we're looking back and reviewing, but this is the last episode we will release within the calendar year of 2024. So anything else you want to throw out there and add?
Honestly, just, thank you guys all for continuing to support us, follow us on social media, checking out our posts and, talking to us and letting us know your thoughts and opinions and whatnot. We're going to have an even better year. And, like Dave said, maybe we can venture into some other horizons and do some more stuff. That'd be really cool. But in any case, we're going to keep rocking and rolling. We're going to keep doing everything that we're doing now. And we're just going to keep, reviewing fun movies and just giving our earnest, reviews on how much we enjoyed them, not how good the movie is, but just how much we love these movies, and putting positivity back into the horror community. So, thank you guys. And stay safe out there. Don't get too crunk on New Year's Eve. That's never a fun time.
Or if you do, stay home. Don't drive.
That's right. No driving.
Yes, be safe. And even if you don't drink, be safe because others are drinking. And obviously, some of them fools are probably driving. So, guys, that's it. Another year in the book. What a great year it was for us as podcasters. We had such a grand time. But also, what a great year to be a horror fan. Just so much happening. It just feels like every day there's news and there's some kind of an announcement, something just to make you excited. Man, what a good time. 2025 will be the same because, hey, we're going to make it that way, right? We're going to all be out there. We're going to be positive. We're going to be fun. We're going to be encouraging. We're going to be supportive and make horror, the horror genre fandom, the best out there because you guys are all beautiful people, most of you. And anyway, so let's close this out one last time for 2024 before we dive into the new year. Wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.